Go deeper. Find your center. Live life to the fullest. This is the Deeper Connections podcast from The Daily Motivator. Welcome to the Deeper Connections podcast from The Daily Motivator, sponsored by Connections University, where you'll find the Experience Excellence audio program, a resource for encouragement, inspiration, and mastery of life's everyday challenges. Visit deeperconnectionspodcast.com and download Experience Excellence today.
My name is Ralph Marston, and I'm the founder of the Daily Motivator website. For more than two decades, I've provided daily encouragement and positive thoughts to people all over the world. I carefully design every Daily Motivator message to get you thinking about and acting on your best possibilities. Now, I'm pouring that same passion into this new Deeper Connections podcast, along with my co-host, Kimberly Kane. Kimberly is a certified high-performance coach, a songwriter and performing musician, and is deeply passionate about life's creative possibilities.
It's a good day to talk about awakening creative genius because you and I both were just talking about, we need some awakening of our creative genius today. Right?
Right.
And it's so funny when you think about creativity, you never find a time where that's just turned on and flowing like a continuous faucet. You have to do some work and you have to put things in motion that keep that alive. Or when you feel stuck, that you're able to have some go-to methods that can get you unstuck. And, you know, we started thinking about the idea of responsibility when we first started talking and said, hey, you know, what do we want to share today? Looking at the idea of responsibility. And it's interesting, when I was getting my hair cut the other day, my hairdresser said to me, she said, you know, I think it's our responsibility to make sure that we show up looking good and feeling our best when we do things, for instance, like, let's say this podcast. It's our responsibility to do the very best things that we can do for our own selves so that we can actually bring the highest level of excellence to those who are giving their time to listen to this. So responsibility comes in all these different shapes and forms. And I just decided to look at it in terms of our creativity and what that means to be responsible to many things. But just one thought to start off here is to our actual creativity. What do you think?
So responsible to your creativity, to the project that you're working on, to the value that you're seeking to create?
Yes, to that. And also to your own ability to create. So let's say here's this morning, for instance, I had a really interesting creative morning. I woke up straight out of the bed with a song idea that was just there and it was ready to go. And it's kind of interesting because usually when I'm writing music, that's more of a nighttime activity for me. However, when I wrote my novel, it was a morning activity. And the beauty of writing that novel in the morning, because it's like, how are you going to write a novel? Well, you have to be responsible to sit down in front of that blank page every single day. And the best way for me to do that was to do it in the morning. And I've read that Stephen King, that's his regimen as well. And in fact, I read a book that he had written called On Writing. And he was talking about the methods that he uses to be as prolific as he is in his writing. And that's how I wrote a novel, was to be responsible to every morning, do my writing and to do a certain amount of writing every morning before I could stop. And then the rest of the day, I can do errands or whatever else needs to be done, do my accounting work, whatever. That's done, though. Whereas if you wait until later, you may not get that done. And so this morning, it was beautiful that I fleshed out a song, not completely, but I got all my ideas together and all my sections together. And then by lunchtime, I thought, wow, I pretty much wrote a song this morning. And I felt a lot more free to do the errands that I needed to do this afternoon.
Right. Yes. Boy, I can identify with that in many ways. There's a lot of things you said that I want to expand on from my perspective. When you talk about responsibility for your creativity and writing every day, those two things. When I started the Daily Motivator way back 25 years ago, it was on a website and there was no email subscription or anything like that. It was just posted on the web every day. And I did a pretty good job of that, but I didn't do it every single day. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you know, as time went on, life kind of got in the way sometimes, and I would skip 2 or 3 days. And then I started getting people asking me if they could receive the messages by email every day. Mm-hmm. And there were enough people asking me that that I came to the conclusion that I might have a way to generate revenue. I could charge for an email subscription. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. I first put out a survey and asked people, you know, to try to get an idea of how many people would be interested in that. And the response was so positive that I went ahead and set up an email subscription to the Daily Motivator. And people started paying me for it. Well, when that happened, that was 25 years ago or so, in the summer of 1996. When that happened, after I started taking payment for the daily messages, I have never missed a single one.
Mm-hmm, right.
Whereas before, you know, it was hit and miss. It was if I felt like it, I would do it. But I felt that responsibility, mm-hmm. not just to my own creativity, but to the people who were paying their money to receive what I was offering. Mm-hmm. And so that is what pushed me to continue writing every single day. And then after a couple of years, I realized with following that practice of writing every day, or at least publishing every day, sometimes I would write more than one message in a day, but coming up with a couple of hundred words every day over the period of 2 or 3 years, I realized I had more than enough material for a book. Mm-hmm. And so I put it all together and organized it and put it into a book and published it. And the book, this, now you got to remember, this was in the late 90s. Things were a lot different. People still read physical books.
Right.
And that gave me, that opened doors to me that had not been opened before, having that book. Mm-hmm. And it was something that if I had, and I even wrote it in the book, if I had just sat down one day and decided to write a book, I probably wouldn't have followed through. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have done that day after day writing to do it. But the fact that I was writing every day already, after a couple of years, I had a book. And that speaks to the power of a lot of things, to mm-hmm. the power of responsibility, of stepping up and taking responsibility and feeling the responsibility that you have created, that you have taken on by, you know, I mean, that can work in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Certainly when you, for example, get married to someone, that's a responsibility. When you yes. have children, when you choose to take on a job, when you take payment from somebody for something, you're accepting responsibility. And that is a powerful and valuable thing in your life when you treat it seriously and
it really is.
Follow through on it.
Have you read Stephen Pressfield's The War of Art?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I figured you had. It is one of my favorite books right. on creativity.
Yes.
And,
yes.
you know, because It's like listening to you talk. I immediately thought about that because he talks about the difference between being an amateur and being a professional.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, don't think that we mean that this is only for people who are writing or making music or whatever it is. This, like Ralph talked about, this is in your marriage, with your children, with your job, whatever it is that you do. Are you an amateur or are you a professional? And the difference is somebody who brings their full self to the table day after day. And so here's another example for me as a performing artist, and having performed for thousands of people over the years that I've been doing this. Certainly, there are plenty of times where I don't feel well, and I may feel horrible. As a matter of fact, I may have allergy issues and my sinuses are acting up or whatever it is. And maybe I don't feel like putting on my very best and putting on all my makeup or whatever it is. But guess what? People are about to show up to hear me perform and see what we do and what all the musicians are going to bring to them that day. They have paid to be there, and you better believe we're going to bring them the best that we can. So I flip on that professional switch that says, oh gosh, I don't feel like doing this at all right now, but guess what? This is what I do, and I'm going to bring my best to it. And I may know that I wasn't performing at my highest level, but the audience doesn't know that. For their purposes, they know that you delivered what they came to see you deliver. And that's important. It's important that you say, I'm committed to this. Now, if it's just your hobby, you know, that's a different thing. But in another context, like when you mentioned marriage, marriage is not a hobby. And if you treat it as a hobby, you're not going to have it for very long, or it's definitely not going to be fulfilling. And with the divorce rate, there's a lot of people very unfulfilled in their marriages. And I would reckon that most of those people believe that it's the other person's fault. And I'm going to tell you, that is not true. If you're feeling unfulfilled, I'm not saying that the other person doesn't have a lot to do with that. But what I am saying is you need to take a look at yourself first and say, where is it that I may not be showing up fully for this endeavor?
Yeah. And I think the unfortunate thing is that our culture kind of dissuades us from wanting to take responsibility.
Oh, yes.
You know, we build up these images that being free of responsibility is a good thing. And marketers, for example, marketing all sorts of products and systems will tell you, you know, you just have to push this button and it will solve all your problems. Or you just have to sign up with our service. You don't have to know about what you're doing. You don't have to do the hard work. Just write us a check and we will take full responsibility. We will do it all for you.
Mm-hmm. And what about healthcare? Take this pill and everything will be fixed.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about eating right or exercising. You just have to, you know, have this procedure or take this pill and we'll fix it all when something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who have an interest in you not being responsible because they are only too willing to take up that responsibility. But what that does is it gives them great power over you.
Absolutely.
Over your life, and you lose your own freedom and control.
Yes.
By giving up that responsibility. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you regret. And you also lose the ability to forge deep connections with other people because it is in the fulfilling of the responsibility, all those efforts that you go through all those challenges that you meet that connect you with other people in life.
Absolutely.
Those are the things when, for example, soldiers in war is a horrible thing. And it's a terrible responsibility to take on. But the connections that service people make in that situation last a lifetime.
And, oh, yeah.
And they are very deep and meaningful.
Yeah. One of the things that you said there that I always find so interesting is the idea that taking responsibility locks you into something that doesn't feel good. But like you said, the truth is that there's actual freedom in taking that responsibility. It's empowering to be responsible for your own health, for your marriage, for right. your creativity, all of these things that we decide that we want to do or be in life. Then if we've chosen to do or be a certain thing, then it is our responsibility to do the things that are necessary to make that happen. And there was an article, in fact, this was the cover story on Time magazine years ago, but it stuck with me. It said, "A new epidemic," and then in quotes, "It's not my fault." It just blew me away when I saw it because I thought, wow, that is what I'm experiencing around me. That it seems like there are so many people who literally are saying that. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. And my response to it, and I'm not saying this is a blanket response, okay, because in certain applications it does matter, but in so many applications, my response is, so what? So what? It actually, it's not about, I'm really not that interested in whose fault this is.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in what are we going to do about it? How are we going to make this better? Because when you spend a lot of time on whose fault something is, you are doing absolutely nothing towards changing that situation. And ultimately, we're wanting something better. So we have to take responsibility to say, okay, that has happened. Now what are we going to do? I'll take responsibility for stepping up to the plate and making a change here.
Well, and that pushes people apart as well.
Oh, when yeah.
When you're seeking to assign blame. And there obviously are reasons that everything happens. And mm-hmm. there are people who caused those things to happen. But you can't go back and change that. That's already mm-hmm. happened. And you do have to look at what is the best option going forward? Where should we be focused now? What's the best use of our resources at this moment? We might sit around and wish we could have done something better and scold people for what they did. And it is useful to let people know what they did wrong and to mm-hmm. correct mistaken behavior. But that should not be the focus, because that you can't really do anything about what's already happened. What you can do is affect the future and focus yourself in a direction that's going to make a more positive future.
Mm-hmm. It's all energy too, right? So you have a choice. Like you're saying, it is important to say, okay, let's look at this and see. Somebody did not pull their full weight here. They didn't do what they said they were going to do. And therefore, you know, it's a domino effect. So this happens and then so on and so forth. Examining that so that you don't make the same mistakes. But it's like you're saying, when you ruminate on this, like who's to blame? The energy that you're putting forth towards that means you're also not taking responsibility for, okay, how do we solve it? Because that can be a lazy energy, if you will, to say, well, I'm just going to keep making sure that you know that you're to blame for
right,
this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a lot easier to regret what has happened and complain about what has happened than to figure out a workable way forward.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's very easy to get stuck in that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it doesn't require any creativity.
Exactly. It doesn't require creativity. It doesn't require any responsibility. And then ultimately, if you look at that cycle, then it it goes back to that same place we were talking about. It removes your freedom and it drains your energy. And then you find yourself feeling stuck creatively or stuck in your life in a certain way where you're not satisfied with your life. You're not fulfilled. And you really can step out. Here's the interesting thing is sometimes when you're in that place of who's to blame and thinking, well, I didn't do this. I didn't create this situation that I'm experiencing in my life. And you can start feeling anxiety. This is something you mentioned to me before, because then you're walking down a path of feeling like there's nothing you can do about it. If someone else is to blame, there is nothing you can do about that. You can't change what's already happened. You can't change the behavior that caused that. So you're going to go in a downward spiral to keep thinking about it. And I am amazed how often it's almost like it's difficult to step out of that situation, especially if your feelings are hurt. Because you're thinking there's a time period where I should feel like this. I should feel put upon. And because I'm hurt, I need to make sure that the other person realize that they really realize how much that they hurt me. So I kind of have to keep acting like that so that they will continue to really, really realize it. And it's interesting how often I have caught myself and thought, okay, do you actually really still feel like that? Do you really still feel hurt? Do you really still feel like you need to keep ruminating on this particular thing that happened? And the answer is, wow, not really. And it's like, okay, then just with the snap of my fingers, I can step out of that energy in a split second and do something different.
Well, yeah, and that is the power of forgiveness.
Because
forgiveness benefits, it doesn't really benefit the person you forgive. It benefits you. Because if someone has hurt you, they hurt you initially and you've been hurt. But what you do by continuing to blame them is you perpetuate that hurt. Mm-hmm. You make it last much longer than it had to last.
Mm-hmm.
And you also give that person control over your life.
Mm-hmm. Because, and so then who's hurting you? You're hurting your own self at that point.
When you insist on the fact that someone else is to blame for your problems, well, then who is it that can solve your problems? It's not you. If it's, you know, if you're not to blame for them, then you have no way to get yourself out of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But with forgiveness and the acceptance of responsibility, no matter, you know, what in a legal sense, who was responsible, and no matter what blame there actually might be, when you accept responsibility, when you forgive, then you put it on yourself. You give yourself the power to move forward.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of funny, as you were talking, I was thinking, this is the first time I've had this thought. I thought, so forgiveness is actually a very creative activity.
It is. Well, yeah, and it frees up a lot of bandwidth in your awareness and in your mind.
Yes, it does.
So instead of having to think, oh, this guy, he messed me up for life, you know, and it's all his fault. Oh, no. These thoughts circling and circling around in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You get those out of there. And you've got a lot of room for other things, for a lot better thoughts, creative thoughts. You can notice more things. You can be aware of possibilities and opportunities for you.
And it's interesting, too, that being able to forgive changes the way that you love. When you start becoming, and I'm going to go back to using this example of Stephen Pressfield and thinking about being an amateur versus being a professional. So if we become professional lovers, if you will, then we really say, okay, it's my responsibility to love at the highest level that I can, because what is that going to do? That is going to create a stellar life for me. Because if I become adept at forgiving, and what that really means is to recognize that we're all human and to recognize that I'm probably hurting other people without even knowing it, because that's what humans do. We do that. And we don't necessarily know when that's happening. Because I don't know everything that's going to be offensive to someone else. And I can't be responsible for all of that, but I can care about the way other people feel so that I am bringing love to every situation that I have, and I'm forgiving easily. And so this can really become something that you can become better and better and better at.
Yeah. And I think it's Stephen Pressfield who talks about love, and I forget how he puts it, but it doesn't matter who loves you, it matters who you love.
Right.
Because that's what you can affect. Mm-hmm. And that is how you experience love, is by giving it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't expect anyone to, like you say, you have no control over their behavior.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It changes your life. It changes the way that you view the world and the way you view others. And with marriages, I think a lot more marriages would stay together with just that one tweak, that mm-hmm. one thing, becoming really great at forgiving.
Right.
It changes the way that you see that other person.
Yeah, it does. And I notice that in my own marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I go through periods where, you know, I'm apt to assign blame to my wife
of course.
For having a bad day. And then I realize how crazy that is and how mm-hmm. ridiculous that is
mm-hmm.
and how much better things are when I just let go of that.
Yeah. And then things become much lighter as well.
Right. Right. Yeah. So taking responsibility for your creativity.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great concept. I like that.
Yeah. I think it just this morning, the way that I woke up and the way that it fashioned my day. And then when we were talking before we started recording, and you mentioned some things about your day, and it just sort of hit me. You were talking about responsibility, and I was thinking about creativity. And as I so often find, these things are not separate subjects.
Right. It's interesting. You were talking about writing your novel and how you would do that in the morning. And I have found that morning is very good for me as well. And by morning, what I mean is like the very first thing I do when I wake up.
Yes,
before
exactly
doing anything else. There's something about sleeping that resets your psyche. Mm-hmm. And it seems like when I get up and start paying attention to all the stuff, all the complexity going on in life, that seems to sap creativity out of me.
Yes.
Now, the complexity itself and all the interesting things that are going on, I think those feed creativity. But when you're experiencing them, you don't have, I don't know, you don't have the ability to be as creative. It's more of a, you're kind of recording what's going on, and then you have to go back later and do the editing.
Yes, right, right.
That's the creative part. Is mm-hmm. making sense of it all.
And I think a thing that would be great for us to talk about in another episode is the willingness to let go of the need to be perfect during the creative process.
Yes.
Because that sucks the life out of the actual creativity. And it's real interesting how we can kind of step in and out of it. I think this is like the right and left brain, you know, working at the same time. Because like you're saying, you're not going to completely shut off that other part of your brain. But I did find myself this morning, like I said, this was fresh out of being asleep, like you were just saying. And this song was flowing, but the other part of my brain is kind of working to go, well, maybe I should eat breakfast first and come back to this. And my creative mind would say, no, stay with this. We've got to stay right here with this. And so I had to actually work at just staying with it, which I often have to do, and talking about writing my novel, oh my gosh, I would get up and walk around because my body even wanted to move on to doing something else. And I would have to work sometimes on getting back and sitting down, and it might take a little while to actually settle. Once I settled, oh, game on. Then you're in this creative flow that's just, then you don't want to come out of that ever.
Well, I think I'm going to have to excuse myself now because I'm feeling very creative and I need to, I'm ready to get to work.
That's awesome. And hopefully there will be plenty of people who listen to this who feel the same way and can just really bring it on.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you for a great conversation, Kim, as usual.
You too, yeah.
And thanks to everyone for listening. Remember, if you have not subscribed to this podcast, to do so. And we promise to be responsible and create another podcast episode of Deeper Connections from the Daily Motivator.
When you need a break, a word of encouragement, a spark of creative juice and inspiration for mastering the challenges of life, work, and relationships, you'll find it in the Experience Excellence audio series from Connections University. You can download it right now through the link at deeperconnectionspodcast.com. While you're there, be sure to subscribe to the show at deeperconnectionspodcast.com so you'll automatically get the latest episode as soon as it's available. You'll find options for iTunes and other platforms. You'll also find links to the music in this podcast, written and performed by Local Honey.
I'm Ralph Marston.
And I'm Kimberly Kane. Thanks for taking the journey with us.
Be courageous in all of your connections. Go deeper. Your life will be richer for it.
This is Deeper Connections. Learn more, be more at deeperconnectionspodcast.com.